92.1 WGHN, Grand Haven's favorite. This is Good Morning Grand Haven. I'm Mary Ellen Murphy, joined by journalist Sarah Leach. Good morning. How are you?
I am great. Thank you.
It's so good to see you. We
you
talk
too.
Quite a bit via email and messaging and whatnot. You have started a new organization called Ottawa News Network, ottawanewsnetwork.org. Tell us about it.
Well, it's a countywide news nonprofit, and what we're trying to do is to cover the entire county of Ottawa because we believe that it is currently underserved by legacy media sources. So that would be the current offerings of television and newspapers. So really what we're seeing, and this is no, just, you know, any kind of insult to the current options. I greatly respect all of my peers.
Of course.
But we're really saying that the eastern half of the county is basically underserved by what the current options are. And so the Lakeshore has a lot of options with newspapers, and the TV stations that are based in Grand Rapids do cherry pick around the county, but there's no real steady news diet available for the eastern half of the county.
So you decided to come up with this. And if people go to your website at ottawanewsnetwork.org, you click on the team, and of course your picture is the first picture that you see, but then you see a board of some really heavy hitters, people that have a ton of experience in journalism.
I know. I love my board. They are some of the most fantastic people that I have had the pleasure of working with or have known through my career.
Okay. So you've worked with these people as well. So
yeah.
Wonderful. So what does the board do?
Well, in the nonprofit model, the board decides what the strategy is.
Mm-hmm.
They decide what the fundraising is, what the vision and the mission is. And so I am merely the executive editor, so I serve at the pleasure of the board.
Okay. Are you going to be hiring any staff for Ottawa News Network?
Yes, we are in the process of fundraising. We're always fundraising as a nonprofit, but we have enough funding where we think that we're going to be able to make at least one hire this year. The goal, obviously, is to have a 3-4 person newsroom functioning annually so that we can actually achieve that mission that we've set out for ourselves.
Right. And I know the focus of a lot of what you've done has been the Ottawa County Board of Commissioners. An over 9-hour meeting. That was a long meeting.
Oh, that was a fun one.
but I get it. You know, Chair Teeples wanted to go over everything. So
yeah.
four months from now, they can't say, hey, we're doing it this way. I get it.
Right.
He wanted to get it out of the way. What have you learned? Because I don't think I've asked you this. What have you learned in the last 2 years covering the Ottawa County Board of Commissioners?
I think what I've learned is that we really take government for granted, and that I think a lot of people assume that government is working if they don't hear about it. That's not necessarily the case. And I think that we really need to be aware of the decisions that are made at a county government level really do affect our day-to-day lives, from our septic systems, to our parks, to our health services, to how our tax dollars are spent on mental health services, et cetera.
Exactly.
I mean, it's so widespread, and it's one of the least understood parts of the government structure because everyone tends to fixate on state and national politics rather than what's happening in their own backyard.
You know, I was trying to put together like a little table of how many hours I spent covering Ottawa County and Ottawa Impact specifically, and I understand, and I want the audience to understand, that is our job.
Right.
But as I've said often enough, I'm a one-woman newsroom. Right now, you're a one-woman
right.
newsroom. I don't have 9 hours to cover a meeting. I'm sorry.
Right.
And a lot of things, you know, I would have rather have covered certain other stories, but there was always so much going on. Well, what were we supposed to do? Ignore it?
Right.
And then if we ignore it, people would say, oh, they're not doing their job. And then if we cover it, they say that we're biased and we're lying.
Well, and what, some of the challenges, just talking to some of the people that work in the television space or in, you know, in the different mediums, is that you have to put together a segment that is 30 seconds or less.
Right.
And I don't know how you go and cover a 10-hour meeting and condense that down into, you know, a few seconds of talking points, because it's such a complex issue that we have in Ottawa right now.
Right.
That I think it really fell to the papers to pick up that slack, but they also are ill-equipped to do that because they're either understaffed or they're just not, they don't have the skill level capable of doing it. They don't allow overtime, all those issues.
All those issues.
All those issues,
all those issues come into play. And I think for a lot of things that, the stories that you have written, I would say to management here, I'd say, you know, this is a great story, but I can't tell the full story in
right.
a newscast because it's one of those stories that does better in print. You know, at the meeting on Tuesday at the Fillmore Street complex, both the Allison, Miedema, well, all three of them, and Silvio Rodi and Joe Moss had talked about how they had been portrayed poorly by the media. And that bothered me because in radio, it's all about audio. So if I'm watching a meeting transcribing, how am I lying if I have the audio to back up what they said?
Right. I think that in 2023 and in the summer of 23, something that that sticks with me is there was a meeting, and this is at the height of contentious meetings where we saw the constitutional county resolution, mm-hmm. the childhood innocence protection resolution, and all of that stuff. And I remember Silvio Rodi saying, "We all know who the media carries water for." And I remember watching that on the YouTube channel, and I said out loud to my laptop, I said, "The media carries water for its audience."
Boom. There you go.
We carry water for the people who want to know what's going on. So I it's just that kind of deflection, I don't think is very fair. And frankly, I think it's insulting to their constituents.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. When you have audio to back up your story.
Right. Well, and we're serving the same people.
That's like, true.
I'm serving the same people that they're representing. So
right.
So that's why I framed it that way. It's, you know, if you said it, it exists. And so you have to take accountability for your words.
Now, we know that the Washington Post, you know, they got wind of this story and they started covering the meetings. Are they still doing that?
I think that they have pulled back, although I do know that Greg Jaffe, who was the lead on that duo that came, Patrick Marley was the other one.
Yeah.
I know that he's still watching because he's still commenting on some of my live Twitter feeds from
got
the
it.
Meetings. And
okay.
So he's monitoring the situation because I think that even though Ottawa Impact no longer holds a majority, mm-hmm. what happens now is almost more important than how we got here.
Really?
Because
why?
Well, because they've made so many changes and they've really sort of, in some ways, this is a good thing. It's thrust county government into the spotlight where everyone is hyper-focused on
okay.
that. And so now a lot more people who weren't currently, you know, they weren't paying attention before. Now they're realizing how government functions and how it works. And they want input into how those decisions are made and how those modifications are made in response to what happened over the past 2 years.
Right.
So now you actually have an active citizenry, an engaged citizenry, and I know that it's a mess, but I think that it's even more important how we navigate out of it versus how we got to where we are.
Okay. That being said, they've got 4 years to navigate out of that.
And it's going to take all 4 years.
You really think so?
After what we saw on Tuesday, I mean, that was the first meeting where the new majority was coming into their own, and we really saw some personalities emerge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was fascinating to see some of those dynamics between the now OI minority. We actually have two minorities on the board. We have a four-member OI block that mm-hmm. is in the minority, and then we have Doug Zylstra, who is the one Democrat. So he's not really allied with them or with the current traditional Republicans that are in charge of the board. So I really... I'm digging this because it's the closest that we can get to actual representative government that truly reflects the demographics of the county.
I would agree.
Yeah.
When I was watching it, I was like, oh, they're actually having conversations.
Right.
I'm learning something here. They're exchanging ideas.
And it's not to say that there weren't tense exchanges.
There were.
There were, but
yeah.
it wasn't a patronizing.
Nope.
Tone. Nobody really directly insulted one another, which was refreshing. And so people were really forced to be grownups. And I really think that this was one of the best meetings that we have had in more than 2 years.
I would agree. And another thing that I learned, you know, we had always said, you know, what do these commissioners do? We know they have very long meetings, but, you know, Allison had talked about how she'll go over things during the week. They both talked to Gary Rosema, Allison and Sylvia. They talked to the interim Gary Rosema administrator on a Saturday. So
right.
they're doing things that we don't know about. And over the last 2 years, they weren't willing to share that information.
Yeah.
Now I feel like I got to know them a little bit better because of the conversations that, you know, in that 9-hour meeting.
Well, that's an interesting point because in the height of 2024, there was a conversation about whether or not to raise the pay for county commissioners.
Exactly.
And without getting into it, because that was a real hot mess, but the concept was to compensate them as if they were full-time workers. And the argument from the then OI majority was, well, this is a full-time job. Well, in the way that they were approaching the job, it was a full-time job.
Exactly.
Because they were doing all of these phone calls every single day, devoting multiple hours to this effort. But traditionally, this has always been viewed as a part-time job,
right?
Because in past boards, they have viewed this as more of a, they were stewards of the county rather than actively governing every aspect of the county.
Okay.
And so there's a real question about what is a county commissioner? How involved should they be? How vocal should they be? And I think that that's a healthy conversation for us to have.
It certainly is. You're going to be having something really cool called a listening tour.
I know.
Do you need a roadie for your tour?
What? I do. I kind of think I'm glutton for punishment.
Tell me what this is.
Well, part of the ONN mission is that, I've worked in legacy media for 25 years. And I think that one of the biggest frustrations that I've always found is we tend to be in this position of elitism. We don't often directly engage with our audience, whether that's viewers or readers. Mm-hmm. And when people complain about changes, we just say, deal with it, subscribe or don't subscribe, you have a choice. I don't think that that's really treating the end user for the information that you're trying to give to them with respect. And I think that the concept of information should be free. I think it should not be held hostage, mm-hmm, for payment. And I think that we should be listening to the people that we're actually serving, because we want to know what they want us to write about. We want to know what they prioritize. We want to know what they think is missing from their media coverage. And we can't know that unless we listen to them and ask those questions.
Okay. Who else is going to be part of this? Is it just you?
It's me. And there's going to be randomly selected members of my board,
okay,
depending on availability. But yeah, we're going to share more information about ONN, how it came about, what the mission is, what the concept is. And then we want to know what kind of topics they want us to emphasize, rather than guessing and going off of what we think traditionally works. We really want to hear from our own readership what they want us to write about.
This is awesome. It'll be 6:30 to 7:30 Monday the 13th at the Laudit District Library here in Grand Haven. And then you'll do one on Monday, February 3rd at the Holland Museum. Future events will continue throughout the first half of the year. I would like to bring you in here every month if we
could. I would
love
that.
I think it would be great. And I've never FOIA'd anything before, so I'm thinking I should job shadow with you someday in the next couple weeks. I'm just going to be like a little Sarah Leach job shadow and see how you do what it is you do. My radio is so, broadcasting is so different from print media, and it's just so different. I know a lot of people are talking about the price of the Grand Haven Tribune. Look, people need to be paid, and I'm...
Yeah, and I think
your writers need to be paid,
right? And I think that that's a big problem in corporate media, because traditionally, look, this is a liberal arts career, right? It's not. We used to have a joke in college that I'm in journalism for the money, and and so we never really expected to be millionaires. But when you're not keeping up with the standard wages of living, and you can't afford a one bedroom apartment just based on your journalism job,
right?
That's a problem. And so it's taken a really long time for these companies to catch up. But when they do catch up, obviously that means that that's going to prevent them from bringing on new jobs, because now they're overburdened with, making pay to people that they weren't budgeting for.
Right.
It causes a really big mess. And one of the things that I wanted to bring in with this news desert concept is that between 2004 and 2024, the U.S. lost 3,300 newspapers, which was a third of the total. So right now we have about 5,600 existing newspapers in the U.S., 80% of those are weeklies. So if you just look at that 5,600 options that are controlled by 17 major newspaper chains, with obviously one or two being at the very top tier and all of the other ones only having maybe about 100.
Mm-hmm.
If you divide that by the current U.S. population, you're looking at a little over 61,000 people per newspaper to get information, which obviously is not happening.
Right.
And so it's a national crisis, and we need to do something about it. And I want to be part of the solution.
And I appreciate your bravery.
Well, we'll see if it works.
Your bravery. People can go to OttawaNewsNetwork.org. There is a button to donate. Ottawa County, I found in my broadcasting here for over 20 years that Ottawa County is one of the most generous counties I've ever, you know, worked in or broadcast in.
And so, right. And that's kind of why, you know, look, I could have picked up and dropped camp somewhere where there is a complete news desert.
Oh, sure.
But it makes more sense to leverage what I know, because if it can work anywhere, it'll work in Ottawa County. And we really wanted to test this countywide model so that if it's successful, other people can replicate it in other places and tailor it to their space.
You got it. Thanks for being here, Sarah.
Absolutely.